Thank you, Mike. I'm going to spend a little bit more time than perhaps I wanted to and try not to bore the children to death, because this is probably, I feel as though that this is probably the most important message that I've probably given. I really believe that. We've had Vacation Bible School. You could see the kids were excited. Some of them liked the craft. Some of them liked the art. Some of them liked the science. I liked the snacks. Nobody mentioned the snacks. They had good time during VBS. And every time we have a good time during VBS and the children are all excited, it's kind of like I've asked people before, so what? How do we respond to VBS? What are we supposed to do? Are we just supposed to entertain the kids for a little while and send them on, and we're not supposed to? I'm going to talk for a little bit before we actually get to our passage. And if you have your Bibles and you want to get to Romans chapter 10, it'll be well along into the message. So, you know, we talked about VBS. We talked about the seven seas, not the seven oceans, but the seven seas. We talked about creation and how God made it all good and all perfect. We talked about corruption. We talked about confusion. We talked about all kinds of things. And I can't remember off the top of my head. But all these things pointed to Jesus Christ. And so when we talked about creation, we talked about how God made everything and God made everything perfect. And he did. God himself in his word said that when he was done, not only was it good, he said it was very good. And it wasn't long, if you read the first three chapters of Genesis, it goes from very good to very bad very quickly. And so it talked about sin, it talked about corruption, it talked about that it came into the world, that we allowed it to come into the world, we brought it into the world. And what was the... God made Adam and Eve, and there was one thing that God told them not to do. One thing. Do you remember what that one thing was that God told them not to do? Do not eat from the fruit of the tree of knowledge. And not only did they disobey him, they did it willingly. They went right against God. Did they listen to God? No, they didn't listen to him. Have you ever done something that your parents have asked you not to do? Have you ever did anything that your parents told you not to do? Have you ever said a bad word? Now, who said that? Okay, very good, very good. Hold on, I think I'm going to use you as an illustration. Out of the mouth of babes, right? Have you ever not cleaned your room when your parents told you to clean your room and you know that they're so busy that they can't watch you and you just kind of slide out after looking like you've cleaned it a little bit? Or have you ever been mean to your brother or sister or been mean to somebody in class? Or did you not get off your tablet or your computer when your parents told you you've had enough time on your tablet, it's time to put it away, and they walk away, and then you open it back up and you get back on it again? Have you ever not eaten all of your dinner when you were asked to? Now here's one that I think that you might be able to relate to. Have you ever told a lie? Look at that man right there. Benjamin throws his hand right straight up. What? Is there anybody in here that hasn't told a lie? That's your second at least right now. I mean, we laugh at some of these things, but these are actually, as Mike talked about, we have gone against the rule book. We've broken, Adam and Eve broke one rule. And I can almost guarantee you that as children and as adults, we've probably broken all of the rules to some level at some time. You know what? Anytime we break one of God's rules, God calls that sin. That's what Christians, a lot of people don't know what that means anymore, but it means that we have gone against God God's asked us not to do things. When we've done those things he's asked us not to do, it's called sin. And we've all sinned. And whether you want to look at it technically or not, we're still all sinners. Some of us are just saved sinners. Mike was a saved sinner, and my story with his is a lot closer than he probably knows because we're doing the election. I can't share my testimony all during the election process, but one day we'll have to share some war stories and the successes of those war stories through Jesus Christ. And so we looked at the next C, looked at confusion, and what did we learn about confusion is that the world wants us to stay confused about whether there is a God or not a God. They want to promote evolution as a scientific fact, and they want to tell you that to believe in God is just a fairy tale. And so the world still wants us to stay confused about this God that loves us so much that he wants a relationship with us. But the Bible says that God and he alone is God, and that he's a jealous God, and that he demands our admiration. He demands worship from his people, that he's a jealous God. But the world wants you to stay confused, but God wants you to know the truth, and the truth is through the person of Jesus Christ. And that took us to the Christ and the cross, because God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to this world in order to offer us an opportunity to be saved. And we'll talk about the cross in just a few moments. But why do we need Jesus? Remember, I just spoke a few moments ago and said that we've all sinned. I don't think anybody can deny that. Whether you believe in God or not, we still have all done something wrong that we know is wrong. And why can't just God just forget it all? And there's a problem. The problem is that God is a just God, and that God has to deal with every single sin. Our parents can forget it and walk away and not punish us for certain things. But since God is perfect and he never forgets anything, and because sin is against his rule book, he has to punish disobedience. If he doesn't punish disobedience, he's no longer a just God. He has to. And he gets no pleasure in it. Even the Bible says that he gets no pleasure in the death of the wicked. You know, your parents might send you to your room, or they might not. But God has to punish us for the things that we do. But here's the good news. Jesus came to save sinners. And Jesus saves everybody that calls upon his name. Jesus saved me the same way that he saved Mike. He saved every one of the Sunday school teachers. He saved everyone who is behind the scenes. He saved so many people from their sins because he wanted to have a relationship with them. So what did Jesus do? Why do we need Jesus? Because God is holy and God is just and God has to punish sin. God allowed Jesus in a plan to come to earth to voluntarily take our place so that he could punish us for the sins that we've committed. And the only thing that he's asked us to do is to believe that that is sufficient for our salvation. We need Jesus. We cry out to him. God takes our sins, the things that we've done, places on him, puts Jesus on the cross, punishes Jesus in our place so that we can have eternal life. That is a God that loves his people. And that is a God that loves his children. Our service this morning is nothing like our regular service. And the whole time I'm thinking to myself what Jesus said when he was talking about those who might not necessarily want this to all be about children. It's not about children. It's about Jesus. Suffer not the little children unto me. Prepare ground so that your children can meet Jesus Christ. I want the VBS, everybody that was a teacher, everybody that was involved in VBS, and this isn't for glory for you, it's really not, it's for glory for Jesus. If you were involved in VBS, I want you to stand. Everybody that was involved in VBS, I want you to stand, except for the children. Now I want the children to look around, and I want the adults to look around, and the people that you see are saved by Jesus. Now y'all can go ahead and sit down. This is what Jesus did for them, and this is what Jesus did for me, and this is what Jesus did for Mike. And it compels us to share Jesus with you so that you can be our brothers and sister in Christ in eternity. I mean, nobody just decides all of a sudden, I want to entertain strange children for a few days. We just don't. I'm just being honest. But what we want to do is that we want to share a message with you that allows you to spend eternity with us in heaven. When you are saved, you go from being pastor to child to brother and brother or brother and sister. We're on equal ground to cross whether I am your grandfather or your brother in Christ. Because Jesus' blood has made us even. It's a beautiful thing. They do this because somebody told them about the good news of Jesus Christ. All the teachers, all the participants that you saw in VBS did that because somebody, some preacher, some VBS teacher, some mother or father or sister and brother was compelled to share with these children about who Jesus was. And that's why Mike goes to Africa to have an opportunity to do things, to have an opportunity to tell other people about Jesus. So what do we do about VBS? What do we do about all that we've learned over these past few days? Well, let's see. God wrote a book. It's called the Bible. It's actually a collection of 66 different books that are compiled as one book. It tells one story from Genesis to Revelation. And the whole entire purpose of the Bible is to point to God's Son, and His Son's name's Jesus, and the work of the cross on the Christ on the cross. And the Apostle Paul wrote to a church he hadn't even visited. He was so compelled for them to know about this Jesus that he wrote extensively about how they can know that they can have eternal life in Jesus. And so this is, if you have your Bibles and you want to look along with me, and I don't know, I think maybe Betsy has it. She's going to put it on the screen. And it's in Romans chapter 10, and we're going to start in verse 8. And then I'm going to talk about it just briefly. We'll be out of here before 11 o'clock, I promise you. That's a preacher lie, but I promise you I would try. Verse 8 of chapter 10, but what does it say? What does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth. It is in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. The word of faith that we proclaim, because if, I want you to hang on to that word, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will what? Be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. And for a bonus, it's not up there, for the scripture says that everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. Everyone. Did you hear the gift? It's in there twice. It's in verse 9, it's in verse 10. Anytime the Bible repeats something, it's extremely important. Paul says you can be saved. You can be saved. Two times. You can be saved. You can be saved. Paul got it. Your VBS teacher got it. Brother Mike got it. I got it. And God wants you to have it too this morning. What? Saved. Saved from what? Saved from your sins. He wants your sins paid for. The sins gets paid for through the blood of Jesus Christ, what he's done on the cross. He wants you to have joy. He wants you to have peace. He wants you to have eternal life. He wants you to have all these things. But the world wants you to stay confused. They don't want you to have any of it. God wants you in heaven with him. Jesus wants you in heaven with him. I got a question. And this is for all the kids. How many of you have ever received a gift in your entire life? Some poor kids, we're going to have to get them some gifts. Man, never got one before. Birthday gift? Christmas gift? Okay, put your hands down. What did you ever do to get that gift? What did you do? Huh? I didn't hear that. I guarantee you, you got a Christmas gift whether you were kind or not. They just use that to try to keep you kind all year long. You get a birthday gift. Do you get a birthday gift because you born yourself? No. You get a birthday gift because your parents, what? They love you. So they give you a gift. God loves you, and he wants to give you a gift. I mean, he really does. And the gift that he has to offer you is way better than the gift that any parent could ever offer you, any gift that any grandparent could ever offer you. And in this section of the Bible, it tells us how to respond to VBS. It tells us how to receive this free gift that we've been talking about the past few days of being saved. But you have to receive it. Remember I told you to hang on to that word if? If you do this. And it isn't because you say certain things or feel a certain way. It's because the Holy Spirit has worked within you that causes you to be able to say it. It says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and that means that by faith that you believe that Jesus is Lord over everything. Do you believe that Jesus is Lord? Look at that. Third hand right here. Believe that Jesus is Lord. Lord over everything. Lord over my life. Lord over the universe. Lord over heaven. Lord over politics. Oh, we're not going to talk about politics this morning. It tells us that we don't simply say it, but we believe it. It's kind of like if you got a mother or father or sister and brother and you say, this is my mom, when you say that, you believe it. You believe it. You weren't there to make the connection happen, so to speak, but you believe that's mom. Do you believe that Jesus is Lord? It's not just words that you say. It's acknowledging a reality that Jesus is my Lord. It says we need to believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. What does that mean? Do you believe that God raised him from the dead? It means, do you believe that God actually put your sins upon Jesus, punished Jesus? The Bible says the wages of sin is death. But God raised him to life to show that God, through Jesus, has conquered death. And it asks us to place faith that that's exactly what God did for us. It's the power of God over the grave. Now, Talon, I'm going to be real quick, so I'm calling you up now. I'm usually behind. Verse 10, it says, for with the heart one believes and is justified, with the mouth one confesses. So how do we respond to VBS? How do we respond to VBS? When the Bible says that you confess, it's talking about a public confession that Jesus is Lord, that he died for your sins, that you truly believe that. And as Brother Town leads us in what we call a song of invitation, it's an opportunity for you to physically, vocally confess that I believe that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus died for my sins, that God raised him from the grave on the third day, and that he will save me if I call upon his name. And the reason that God wants it to be public is he wants you to know whether you truly believe what you think that you believe by being able to confess that Jesus is Lord. So as Brother Talon plays us a song of invitation, I'm inviting not only the children, but I'm inviting the adults. If you've never confessed that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, I pray that you do that now. 27-year-old Mike Schanneberger was saved when he placed his beer can down, called upon the name of the Lord, and the Lord saved him. Do you want to be saved today? if you do come down, as Brother Town plays the song of invitation for us this morning.
Hello, check 1, 2. There we go. If you're able, please stand and we'll join in song. Fields are white. Seed was sown and time has flown, and we are going home. It won't be long, it won't be long. Job is nearly done right here, and we are reapers of the year, of the year. The fields are white and it is night, and we are reapers of the light. It won't be long, it won't be long. For the dead is paid, and we are saved by the grace of God. And we are saved, we are saved, we are saved, we are saved. We're on our way in the morning with the sunrise up at dawn, and we are saved. The word was spread and it was said to the people everywhere, it won't be long, it won't be long. Jesus Christ gave his life, and now we have eternal life in him, in him. The fields are white and it is night, and we are reapers of the light. It won't be long, it won't be long. For the dead is paid, and we are saved by the grace of God. And we are saved, we are saved, we are saved, we are saved. We're on our way in the morning with the sunrise up at dawn. And we are saved, we are saved, we are saved, we are saved. We're on our way in the morning with the sunrise up at dawn. And we are saved.
Brother Randy's going to give the benediction. He's also going to say grace for our meal following afterwards. Please stay. Come downstairs. We'll share a time of fellowship. The word "if" this morning is a seed. I want you to think about it. We didn't have anybody respond physically this morning. Maybe mentally you responded. God asked you to confess that he is Lord and Savior publicly. I want you to think about that. It says, if you say these things, if you believe these things, you will be saved. It doesn't say that you have some kind of private moment. It talks about a public identification with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Lord, we thank you so much for the number of children engaged in our VBS this time. We thank you, Lord, also for so many leaders among our small congregation who stood up and stepped up and brought the good news of salvation through Christ to these children. I pray that you would be with them and each one of us who is saved. As we go from this place, Lord, that we would be faithful to share the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ to a world that's in such desperate need of that salvation. Lord, we thank you for the opportunities you give to those who are saved, to do the works that you've prepared for us ahead of time. Pray that we would be faithful to step up, look for the opportunities to do your will in so many ways. We thank you for Brother Mike and the story he tells of the service he's rendered to your kingdom in the nation, in the continent of Africa. I pray, Lord, that each one of us will have our eyes open. As I've told our men so many times in our men's ministry meetings, just open your eyes and look. We know that you have work for us to do. We pray that we would not be shy in stepping into those opportunities to share your gospel, to be your hands and feet in so many different ways. And I thank you for those who did so with VBS this week. Now, Lord, as we prepare to go downstairs and have a fellowship meal, we pray that you would bless the food and the hands that prepared it. And again, prepare our hearts for the ministry you have for us once we leave this place, that we would be faithful servants of your word and your kingdom. In Jesus Christ's most precious and holy name, I pray. Amen.
wanted to make a quick announcement real quick before we go down to lunch, is there is a jar sitting back on a table. It looks very lonely right there. Part of what we were doing this morning and promoting with VBS is to make a contribution to the Greater African Mission that Brother Mike was sharing with us. And if you feel so inclined, we encourage you to give financially what you can. If they're making a check, who do they make the check out to?
I have a prayer card out there, and all of the information will be right.
So all the information is out there, but the jar is sitting right there as you pass by. And secondly, I also wanted to be intentional in inviting you back next week for our regular Sunday morning service. We have a wonderful Sprouts program. It's the preschool program in the back. We have a children's church program downstairs for the kids, similarly aged to the VBS, and we just would love to have you next week as well. So we'll see you downstairs.